This is Lachlan Rouston.
This is Ralph Friedman. And you're listening to the fittest podcast in Australia,
The Mind Muscle Project. Project, welcome back to this episode. Today we're going to be talking about getting strong, specifically in squatting. So ways you can actually create the perfect squat. It seems to be a never-ending topic of the squat. And I'll tell you what, we have accumulated so much knowledge around the squat. It's almost ridiculous. I don't think we could talk about this subject for hours, but we won't, not to bore you. We want to just do the stuff that's relevant. Obviously, everyone has some form of squatting in their program, most people. So today, you're going to really find out some of the ways that you can create for yourself the perfect squat. Now, before we jump into it, we want to talk about two companies that we love. The first one, we wear them nonstop. It's actually been, God, I haven't taken this thing off. It's been over a year. We've been collecting data on ourselves.
Yeah, easy. We started August 2019.
And we barely take it off.
Yeah.
So if you really think about it, this thing has been on my wrist for a year straight, more than anything else on my body. That is the Whoop band, of course. Whoop is an incredible thing to do with friends. Whoop is a community. More than any other app I've really ever used outside of social media is because of the leaderboard function, right? Yeah. You can see how everyone slept, how hard they're training, how many calories they've burned, how recovered they are. You can make fun of people when they wake up on Sunday morning and have a 2% recovery and 1 hour sleep. So it has been one of the most transformative products, not just for my own life, but also for my clients' lives. Yeah. We know as coaches, it's one of the hardest things is to create change outside of the four walls of the gym when you're not with them. Whoop is like their coach outside of the gym for them. So I made a post about it the other day. It has been one of the most effective changes I've made to my clients' life outside the gym. I would definitely recommend doing it 100%. So if you guys are interested, whoop.com. So it's whoop.com. And our code is MMP. No, sorry. Our code is MindMuscle, one word. And that's going to get you 15% off your order.
And don't forget to join the MindMuscle Project group.
Who's at the top today?
DM on Instagram. This is actually last month. So, man, look at this. Andrew Papp is always winning our leaderboard. Always. Average strain, 18.1. Average. All of October. Average. And then we've got some other beasts in there. I will call out Sasha Gimenez. She's been a long time part of the MindMuscle Project group and seriously trains hard. Like, averages 15, 16 strain. Monthly now for like 12 months. So
some beasts in the group. Absolute beasts. So yeah, pick up your Whoop strap. The code is MindMuscle. That's for 15% off. That's one word when you check out at whoop.com. Also, as well, if you are a guy or if you're a girl that knows a guy that needs to manscape. So manscape is the future
of the human race.
According to three recent surveys of a lot of different women, 80%+ women prefer men that are manscaped. I think for hygiene reasons, I think it's to do with the times, probably to do with what's going on in porn. All of the trends of genital hygiene are changing. And if you're a guy, I would absolutely jump on board. Whether you're single or in a relationship, it's going to improve the quality of your sex life, undoubtedly. And you get all kinds of products. The newest product that Manscaped has launched outside of the hygiene pack is the Weed Whacker. You can get the Weed Whacker in America, but now you can get it in Australia and New Zealand. The Weed Whacker is the nose hair trimmer and the ear hair trimmer. So if you're one of those, unfortunately, overly hairy facial people, then you can now trim the hairs in your nose and your ears, which again, I think goes a long way for hygiene and perceived hygiene. So if you're interested, Manscaped, MANSCAPED, manscaped.com. And the code is MMP20. We had some mix-ups with our other codes, but the new code is MMP20. That's MMP20. So it's 5 letters. And that's going to get you 20% off your entire order. So check it out. Pick up the Weed Whacker or just pick up the standard hygiene kit that we recommend at manscaped.com. Okay. So, all about the perfect squat today. Now, there's multiple factors that goes into squatting extremely well. And I like to really think about it from the ground up when I'm teaching someone to squat. So, the first thing that comes into it when it comes to creating the perfect squat is foot position. Something you get asked a lot, right? Yeah. How wide should my feet go? How narrow should my feet go? Shoulder width, hip width, whatever it might be. And the truth of the answer is, I believe you need to be able to do all stances. I don't think there's an optimal stance for certain things. There's probably like a squatting stance where you're strongest and most comfortable. But I actually think that anyone that is good at squatting can do all squat variations. You can do a narrow squat. You can do a wide squat. You can do a regular squat. Because what it shows is it shows adequate mobility in all stances. Because that is ultimately what holds people back from a wide or a narrow stance. The more extreme versions of squats is mobility. Yeah. And so if you can hit all those really well, then you have not only good strength, but you have good mobility.
Yeah, definitely strength as well.
Yeah.
You see that in different positions. People are like, you just don't want that huge imbalance.
No.
Where it's like, oh, you know, this stance squat is crazy strong. Out here, it's like, nah, dude, like even 40 kilos killing me. My, you know, everything's hurting.
Groin's too tight.
You don't want that. I've actually done squat cycles in the past, early on in the CrossFit days, that prescribe different foot stances.
Okay.
Like in the same strength cycle, which was pretty cool. And that was the first time that opened my eyes to that. It's like, hey, I'm getting too strict in one type of squatting.
Yeah.
And it is, really good to be able to do multiple types of squats.
I also think that people just get so hung up on having their feet exactly perfect every single time. Remember, the human body is like, it grows and it changes and bends and it adapts. So, you know, you want to be adaptable with your foot stance as well. You don't want it to have to feel like it's perfect every time, because if you're so set on the exact same, and I was like this, the exact same foot position, the exact same angle that it turns out every single time, you walk out, you check it 50 times before you do your first rep. It's like as soon as you do something more dynamic or you can't get into that position, you just feel like you feel weak. You feel out of place. You're too used to it.
It's silly, particularly if you do like functional fitness, right? Your workouts call for different shit.
Yeah.
Maybe you're doing bodyweight squats, you're doing some heavy barbell squats. Maybe you're doing like
cleans.
Cleans. Maybe you like got a log on your shoulder and you're hitting squats like an outdoor style workout. Your squat stance is going to be different, right? You don't hit this like perfect foot stance if you've got a weight on one side of your body or a sandbag that's got to fit in between your thighs. Like I can't even do my squat stance with a sandbag. Yeah. My thighs are too fat. So you've got to be able to do all of them. And maybe, if you're competing in powerlifting, you might be like, okay, this is my competition foot stance and I'm going to practice it. Even then, I would still train some different squats. But for just generally being strong at squatting, I would be training all of them.
So just before we move on from foot position, the other thing as well is like straight feet versus angled out feet versus whatever. Generally, the rule is your knees should just track nicely over your toes.
Yeah.
And so for some people, that means they're a little bit more turned out. Some people it means they're a little bit narrower. But what you don't want is your toe pointing forward, for example, but then your kneecap pointing 12 degrees to the left. That's when you're going to create some shearing and some issues.
You don't want it too far in or too far out.
Yeah. The knee should just line up nicely with the toe, which is, it's just like Raph said, some small deviation from perfectly straight, slightly out is usually where most people will fall. The other thing as well is just thinking about your arches when you squat. A lot of people squat and then their arch collapses at the bottom. It just gives them extra range of motion. Generally, what that does is it just puts you in a more compromised position.
Yes.
It just means that whatever's going on in your knee, you're going to sacrifice position at your knee. So some of those structures, because you have structures that run through your arch, through your toes, that connect up into your knee. So if you just relax those muscles, if you let those muscles go completely limp, then that connection in your knee is no longer going to be stable. And therefore, you're going to get shearing, you're going to get wear and tear unevenly in your knees. And that was definitely something I had to learn when I was getting better at squatting and getting stronger at squatting, was that I had to maintain my arch position. And it's something that you obviously have to be conscious of when you're learning it, but then eventually it can become unconscious and you just build into it. But yeah, having just a like watching people's arches just collapse, you see it all the time, right? You see people...
It's more common
than
holding a good foot position. And the easiest way to see it is just watch someone or film yourself from behind and you can see the back outside of your foot go off the ground.
Yes, like so the edge of your foot.
The back of your foot and the outside edge, if that is like leaving the ground as you get to the bottom, like you've lost your foot position. And the only ways that you can, in that same session, because obviously you're not going to improve your mobility very much in that session, to fix that is changing your foot stance and changing your depth, really. Mm. And maybe concentrating on it more can help as well, make sure the weight's not going all onto the forefoot. But if you move your feet around, maybe you go a bit wider or a bit narrower, or you don't go as deep, you can usually solve that problem on the fly.
Yeah, like I'm even looking at it now. If I have my feet perfectly flat and then my arches drop in, I immediately compromise at my knee. Like my knee and shifts off the angle. Now, if you're adding load, repetitions, time in that position with a compromised knee, it's just a matter of time before you start to get issues.
Yeah, and obviously weightlifting shoes are going to allow you to go deeper without losing that arch position.
Yep, absolutely. So next thing to consider is just really mobility. Like I've just kind of put this in as a broad point. It's going to obviously get touched on in all the areas here, but having the adequate mobility before you can squat. And I think there is basically a kind of binary, yes, you're ready, no, you're not ready sort of mobility before I'd really start loading someone up in a squat. Now, I would use squat mobility drills where you're doing the squat, but I wouldn't load it up as like a movement to get stronger until someone has the requisite mobility. And that starts at the feet, starts at the ankles, right? So you need to have enough mobility that your ankle, some people's ankles are so stiff, they can't do an air squat. They fall backwards, right? They can barely get their knee past their where their ankle is. So basically from their ankle, they have a 90 degree angle. But your knee should at least get to the edge of your big toe at a minimum, a bare minimum. If you can't do that, you literally can't create, like all your weight is going to be shifting back. You can't get any weight forward unless you basically fold over at the hip. You can't get any weight through the big knuckle of your toe. Like when you're squatting and you're at the bottom of the squat, people watching this on YouTube, I've just disappeared on the camera. You should have weight going through the big knuckle of your toe. If you can't because you don't have enough mobility and your toes start to lift off, then you are not ready to squat. Like, because you're going to put a squat and you're just going to compromise straight away at the torso. So strong squatting, strong pressure. So strong squatting requires even pressure through the whole foot, not 90% through the heels.
No. And sometimes you hear people, because you come onto your toes in a squat, because maybe your ankles are stiff, so your heels leave the ground. People say, oh, like, wait, you always want your weight on the heels in the squat. You don't want it on the heels. You just want it evenly across your foot.
Yes.
And you might say, hey, I might even say, hey, get your weight on your heels. I just mean get not all of your weight on your forefoot and even it out. I don't mean get all the weight onto your heel. That's bad as well, right? You want even weight across the foot. And usually, yeah, if you're not getting that, it's because of some sort of mobility restriction.
Yeah.
I don't mind people squatting if maybe they can't go all the way down yet. But what I prefer is them to not try and do that, to squat where they feel safe with the weight and then work on getting deeper.
Yep.
Until we're adequate. And then once we're adequate, then we can try and really add weight to it. If you try and add weight before you can get to the right depth, the right position, often I find you just never get there.
Never get there.
Because you just keep, you know, putting weight and your ego gets in the way of then you taking it down and going lower. Often it gets higher and higher, actually, over time. So I would much prefer you to, slowly, and I say slowly, very importantly, slowly build up the depth over time of your squats before you start adding up the weight, if you're like really restricted from mobility.
Yeah, absolutely. The other thing I would add as well is just to kind of, I guess, visualize it, is imagine that you're on the leg press machine, right? Everyone sat on the leg press machine before because it's the first movement you go to when you like don't know how to squat. Yes. And you want to load your legs up. Now, you've got this big metal plate in front of you, right? And it's got a bunch of weight on it, and you really want to push hard through that foot to kind of drive that weight up to the lockout position. Imagine driving that force plate with your toes off. Like imagine just putting your heel on it and pushing with your heel. I mean, it might feel kind of strong, but it wouldn't feel great. Imagine now doing that with just using your toes. Again, that wouldn't feel strong. It wouldn't feel great.
Well, it's like doing a push-up.
Yeah.
You have your whole hand on the ground for a push-up. You wouldn't just try and push up just off your fingers. On your fingers,
yeah, unless you're doing gymnastics or some shit. But yeah, you want that whole foot. When you're pressing, you want to feel the weight in your heel. You want to feel it in the big toe. You want to feel it going through your arch.
Yes.
You want all your toes gripping the plate. That is the most effective way to do it. And the same logic applies to when you're doing the squat. Mm. So that's definitely important where that pressure is going. So working our way up through the mobility. The next part is, the next place of really stopping is at knees, definitely. You should be able to basically, I think, do a front foot lunge. So front foot split squat, for other words, and really be able to lean far into, like your knee should, you should be able to put your hamstring on the back of your calf. That's really kind of the mobility you want to kind of work up towards. Now, outside of that, when you get to the hip, when you do a 90-90, your both knees should touch the ground. So you should be able to get your outside leg in the 90-90 position. You get that knee pretty much on the floor, and then that inside knee, more importantly, should be on the floor as well. People that are so far off doing that, I mean, yes, you can squat, but you have no internal rotation. You have very little external rotation. You're not leaving yourself much room for a squat here. You're going into it with a very limited track that you have to stay on to obviously maintain. And that track is really difficult to stay on unless you're well-trained. So likely what happens is you come off the tracks during the squatting movement and you get compensations everywhere, right? You get compensations at the feet, compensations at the knee, at the back, at the torso position, because your hip mobility is so restricted that you just really can't get down into the correct position. So making sure that clients or you as an individual can hit those 90-90 positions before you kind of get into the squat is something else I kind of have as a kind of a gold standard before we're really going to start loading up that squat.
Yeah, and remember that the less you have somewhere else, the more you need. So if your ankles are stiff and you know it, you need to work extra hard on your hips.
If your ankles are stiff, you know it, clap your hands.
If you're clapping your hands right now, then yeah, you need to work extra hard because the less you have of your ankles, the more range of motion you need your hips. So the more external, internal rotation you're going to need. And the vice versa is true as well. If you have exceptionally mobile hips, you can get away maybe with stiffer ankles. Or if you have really flexible ankles, you can get away with pretty stiff hips and still hit your depth. So something to keep in mind as well. Because I know for a lot of people, you know, ankles can be very hard to improve. You know, if you've worn like poor shoes, it's just like so locked in, so stiff. I would work really, really hard on your hips and try and get more mobility there and good movement. And that is really external and internal rotation of the hip.
Yeah. Okay, next thing to consider is your body type. Now, body type being your torso length to your leg length. Now, this is an important factor to consider because it's likely how your squat is going to look. Now, assuming that your mobility, you kind of meet some of the prerequisites we just spoke about, the next thing you're considering is like torso angle, foot position, squat stance. You're kind of getting that all lined up. Now you've really got to set some expectations around, you know, what kind of, you know, as I start to get heavier, as I start to load up, what is my squat going to look like? Now, as someone that's really tall and is not optimized for squatting, I have really long femurs. I do have a long torso, which is okay. But if I had a really short torso and long femurs, great for kickboxing, terrible for squatting. And that's just kind of what you have to accept is that, hey, ultimately here, I'm going to be pretty bent over. I'm probably not going to be as strong as someone that is like Raf, has short femurs and a really long torso and is nice and upright. So that's just kind of, I think, something that people get a bit hung up about. They go, oh, well, look, he's so upright. He's so straight. He looks so good. He pops out of the squat. He's built for squatting. He's built for squatting. He's got a long torso. He's got really short femurs. So just the mechanics, the physics of the movement are just so different for him. And therefore, sometimes you see the tall guy and he's really bent over when he's squatting. Yeah, he's got good mobility, but when that weight gets heavy, just isn't able to get into the same position just because his lever lengths are different. Because ultimately, when it gets heavy, assuming you have the right mobility, your body is going to shift itself into the position where it's getting optimal mechanics, right? That weight is going to force you in optimal mechanics. For me, I'm like pretty bent over, but I'm not that bent over. I can stay pretty upright, mainly thanks to my ankle mobility. But because I do have a long femur, it does tend to tip my torso forward a little bit more than other people. And it just makes my torso and my back have to work harder to keep myself upright.
Yeah. And one thing I keep in mind that sometimes for people that struggle with depth, it is because they lean over too much.
Yeah.
So because they drop their chest a lot and have like a pretty big bend over at the torso, then it makes it harder to get depth.
Yeah.
If you just bend over a lot, it's like almost impossible to get hips below parallel because your shoulders are so low. So for some people, yeah, trying to keep your chest a bit more upright, which can be harder if you're taller or not built for it as much, but it does allow you to get depth. But yeah, you also just have to give up. Like if you're not built like Matt Fraser, it's not going to look like Matt Fraser on squatting. It's like nothing, literally nothing you end up doing about it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I don't want to harp on this point too much because it kind of is what it is. It's just an important point to note. So the next thing to consider when they squat is the injury history. Injury history, I've started to realize over time and over working with clients, plays a lot into how a squat is going to look, how it's going to feel, and kind of your expectations with how strong you can get in the squat. I definitely think squatting is a great movement. Everyone should do it to some extent. But ultimately, I think your injury history is going to limit your potential in the squat. Now, when I wasn't injured, I got a lot out of squatting. But since getting a lot of back injuries, what I realized is squatting for me has become more of a movement that is maintaining my mobility and can challenge me on certain days. But ultimately, where I'm going to continue to drive up my leg strength is through split squats, is through front-loaded split squats, is through step-ups, is through lunges. And squatting is never really going to be something, especially back squats, never really going to be something that I'm going to chase huge numbers with because certain loading patterns, certain shear forces through the back, certain weights, they cause me too much pain. They cause me serious injury if I try and push them too much. And that's fine. I've accepted that I don't need to do that anymore. But I still incorporate lots of squatting in some workouts and I incorporate, you know, some low reps, moderate to light weights just to kind of maintain that strength and mobility in squatting. So understanding your injury history, you know, someone that has, you know, maybe a double knee reconstruction or whatever, I'm going to still try and get them to squat, but it might just be goblet squats. It might just be something. We're going to just try and work on a really nice squat. Now, I want you to be able to do 15 reps with a 32 kilo kettlebell. That's going to be good squatting for you in great positions, but I'm never going to load you up to do a powerlifting comp. You know, it's just not realistic.
Yeah, and one of the worst ones I see, that if you've ever had a pretty big injury on one side, so maybe you had like a really bad ankle roll or a really bad knee injury, I would take a look at your squat very carefully, because almost always those people, they get into squatting and then at a certain point they get pretty bad injuries, because you don't realize that if you've had a really bad ankle sprain, very likely you've got less range of motion in that ankle, and then that's going to just like move the whole thing off kilter, right? And maybe your hips are going one way, your weight's more under one foot, and it's just not a great movement until you've really got it balanced. If you ever had either played like a very one side dominant sport, like you always kicked on one side or something like that, or you've just had a big injury to one side, back squatting might not be a movement you want to push very hard until you've like completely ironed out those issues.
Yeah.
Because it is...
If you ever can.
Yeah. It is just a savage movement on people if you have any side-to-side discrepancies.
Yeah. I think just that's an important point for, you know, people learning to squat, but also people that are coaching the squat as well. I know it's obviously a great movement. We always talk about how awesome it is. You know, it puts on heaps of muscle. It burns heaps of calories. You know, it's fun. But there's, you know, you do have to consider with this movement that, hey, sometimes due to injury history, it's just not going to be a movement I'm ever really going to use as like a main lift or a main, I guess, tool in the tool belt for this client or for myself. And you just have to be okay with that. And if you try and force it because you think, oh, it's so good, I always hear how great it is or whatever, and you just ignore the injury history, you are going to hurt people.
Mm.
Yeah. Or you're going to hurt yourself. So it's just like really important to consider. And something that I've had to kind of come to grips with over time. Okay, real quickly on this one, I just want to talk about the differences between back, front, and I guess for some people, overhead squat as well. One thing to consider with these movements is the most natural squatting position is with your shoulders in either a forward or a neutral position. And so for that, that is a goblet squat, a dead ball squat, where you're holding the weight in front of you, a sandbag squat, or even a front squat as well. Obviously, a front squat's a little bit less natural with a barbell because you're trying to get into a rack position or an X grip, which is kind of awkward. But they are the most natural squatting positions where the weight is in front of you and that you're holding this weight. It's obviously a concept that Julien Pinot first introduced to our kind of world, but over time, I've really started to realize and notice, and after talking to some other experts as well, so they tend to agree, is that the back squat is the most unnatural position for your shoulders, and it has this kind of downstream effect by forcing your shoulder into this highly externally rotated position. It compromises your back position, your hip position, your foot position, your torso position. That's fine if you grow up weightlifting, you grow up with awesome mobility, you grow up strong, you are a weightlifter, you can get away with back squatting your whole life, but for a lot of us, getting into that externally rotated shoulder position, it forces your back into a compromised position. That's how I hurt my back.
And then you've got to squat, right?
Yeah, that's the then you've got it. Then you're loaded up.
Yeah.
And every time I give people front squats, every time I give a front loaded squat, I never see this issue. I never see the butt wink. I rarely see the butt wink. I don't see the shoulder issues. I don't see the back pain. I see way more core activation. I see a much more upright torso. I see a much more natural squatting position. Than when I load up a back squat. Doesn't mean you can't do a back squat. It's just like a lot more considerations to go in place.
Yeah, and a lot of gyms these days even have the safety bar squat, which gets you one step closer as well. And that's why you're just like holding the handles in front of you in a neutral position.
Yeah, that's definitely a good substitute as well.
And I would say that in the overhead squat, it basically just takes that same problem and is like in this extreme version.
Yeah. Look, I don't know what to comment on the overhead squat here. All I would say with the overhead squat is that if you think you can do it pretty comfortably and safely and you're quite strong and you have good mobility, that's when it's a useful tool for long-term use. But for 95% of people, it's not a good tool to be using.
It's a struggle and it looks bad. And it's one of those ones that, you do have to do it to get better, but you don't have to do it heavy to get a lot better at it. If you struggle with it, if you struggle with it for like a mobility and stability reason, like hammering the weight on it, it's just really only going to give you wrist and shoulder injuries.
Yeah.
But like you need to have almost everything in order to get the overhead squat right. Like you can't have many weaknesses in the lower body or the upper body.
It really is more of a sport movement.
Yeah.
Right? It's more of an extreme movement for people that are competing in either weightlifting or CrossFit. I'd say outside of that, the benefit is minimal to none. It just looks cool and everyone wants to do it. Okay, so next thing and really last thing that we have to consider when it comes to building the perfect squat for you guys is accessories. So you've got lifting belts and you've got knee sleeves, knee wraps, and you've got weightlifting shoes. Now, we're going to talk about lifting accessories and all that sort of stuff in more detail in a later episode, but just to round out this conversation, probably the what will make the most difference for most people here is weightlifting shoes. Mm. I'd say if you're picking between any of these tools, weightlifting shoes, I've noticed with myself and then obviously with all the clients we've had over time, is probably the best tool that you can use just because it gives you more ankle mobility.
Yeah,
and that's often what most people are lacking. Most people do not really need a knee sleeve because, you know, your knees can squat. Like, you don't actually need to create more cushion necessarily. And the knee sleeve is useful when you're like overly mobile, I think. You hit the bottom for hundreds and hundreds of reps during the week. It just kind of provides a little bit more of a gap, a little bit more of safety, and just keeps your knees warm in long sessions. But outside of that, I haven't put on a pair of knee sleeves in years.
I haven't worn them for a long time.
You just, it's one of those things you do when you're just training too much.
Yeah.
Knee wraps is a slightly different story. I think obviously knee wraps is only necessary when you're going super heavy because the amount of compression it creates at the joint. If you've ever squatted in knee wraps, they definitely add kilos to the bar for sure. They make your knees feel super, super strong, super secure, just like a wrist wrap would. And then really the last thing that I think is probably the next thing you would consider after lifting shoes is the belt.
Yeah.
The belt makes a huge difference because it's replicating tension, core tension, and core pressure. And I think it's a great tool to teach people how to breathe properly and brace properly. But you never really used a belt, did you?
Not much. It does help. So like what I would barely use a belt. And then if I wanted to go for like a PR on my front squat or back squat, I'd chuck on the belt.
And that's really the difference.
And I knew it was like front squat 170 without the belt, 180 with the belt. It was like 10 kilos.
Yeah.
But you don't need it most of the time, right?
Yeah. But I tell you what, when you do get good with a belt, it makes a huge difference.
Yeah.
Definitely makes a huge difference. Like, I think the weightlifting
shoes... Yeah, if I really wanted to push the weights, I would have practiced with the belt more often.
Yes, yes. I just think that the weightlifting shoe is great because you can use that and it starts working for you and an empty bar. The other components like the knee sleeves and knee wraps, the belt, you don't really need those until you get really heavy. And so the weightlifting shoe is good for anyone that's starting out. However, the other tools are kind of only more for the more advanced lifters. I wouldn't really recommend to someone on day one, it's like, all right, cool. So we signed up to the gym today. We've got our onboarding starting next week. I'm going to need you to get a leather belt, a bunch of knee wraps. Like, no, they're not going to use any of those tools. But I would say, hey, you may consider using some weightlifting shoes depending on what your coach sees, depending on how your ankle mobility is.
Yeah, from the outset. And the thing on the weightlifting shoes is that there are all different types. So there's a lot of weightlifting shoes now that just have like a pretty minimal heel that are great for just back squatting. This gives you like that little bit of extra heel, or front squatting gets you in a better position for a lot of people. Awesome. And because the heel is not too excessive, like you can walk around the gym and kind of do some other stuff in it. It's not devastating to you. But then if you want to do like snatch and you're like really getting into weightlifting, you can go for like the Nike shoes that have like, you know, three heels put in one and it's like totally on top. And like you really don't need that if you're just trying to get good at your back squatting or improve it, right? So I would go, if you're not weightlifting, I still think the weightlifting shoe can be good. I don't even know if it's called a weightlifting shoe. Maybe it's called a powerlifting shoe or something. But there's a lot of shoes out there that just have a bit of a heel lift that are cool and do help you out with your squats, and they can be good.
Can you use those in powerlifting comps? You can, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But because they do a lot of low bar, like a lot of them don't bother using it. But some people do. Yeah. And you can just have a small heel. And I think that's a really good option.
Well, it's very secure side to side as well. Lateral.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just a good shoe. Like it's just a really good shoe to wear for your squats. And that can be a pretty good option, I think, for a lot of people. And because there are negative consequences to the very high weightlifting shoe as well.
Yeah.
Right, like can pump your quads. Load your knees. Yeah, and really put a lot of weight anterior, so the front of your body, as opposed to the posterior sometimes for some people. So I wouldn't recommend going for like the biggest weightlifting shoe to like lift the most weight.
Yeah.
I would go for a moderate weightlifting shoe if you're just interested in squatting. And if you want to do weightlifting, then yeah, you can get a bigger heel.
Yeah.
So don't just order the coolest red Nikes when you go like and spend $300.
Don't just look at Sonny Webster's shoe collection and try and imitate it. So guys, hopefully that was useful. That's kind of like a lot of the knowledge we think is actually practical when it comes to improving your squat. There's heaps of stuff out there, but how much of it's actually relevant? This is stuff we've seen work on ourselves and with our clients, and we've trained hundreds, if not thousands of clients at this point. And this is the stuff that actually makes a difference. This is the stuff our coaches use. And if you guys are looking for a really great program, either to improve your strength and do lots of squatting, there's less squatting in our body composition program. But yeah, if you are looking to really jack up your squat, you want to go to the mymuscleproject.com/strong. We now have an 8-week version of our training program that you can check out. It's a great cycle to kind of check out, apply some of this squatting stuff. You get a lot of variety in there. But if you want a body composition program, you can go to themymuscleproject.com/body. But all our programs are at our website /programs if you want to check them out there. So guys, thank you so much for tuning in. Remember, we talked about two sponsors at the start, Whoop and Manscaped. Whoop.com, the code is MindMuscle when you check out, 15% off. And then Manscaped, code is MMP20, MMP20, 20% off when you check out. And for those of you watching at home on the video version, good to see you. And we'll speak to you all next week. Thanks, guys. Thank you, Project, for tuning in again to another episode of the My Muscle Project. We release an episode every single Monday. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram, the My Muscle Project, to stay up to date with everything we're doing. And if you have some time, leave us a review and a 5-star rating on iTunes.
And don't forget, we have a second show of the week, The After Show. So it's no longer a rest day on Thursdays. If you have any questions for Lachlan and I for that show, head to themymuscleproject.com/The After Show. And if you ask a question, we'll answer it on the show.
Thanks again so much, Project, and we'll see you all next week.